Thank you, Mrs. Jones, and thank God for the birth of Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Let me go back and make sure I say that the right way, because no virgin birth, we in a heap of trouble today, folks. Thank God for His only begotten Son. And that day, can you imagine those who got to get that first glimpse of the face of the Son of God? Say, I wonder what their face looked like. Their chin was probably about that much lower than their mouth, and hanging down. I don't know. How would you respond? How would you respond? They said, hey, come see the Son of God. Incredible. Say, boy, I sure would have liked to have been there. Well, let me tell you something. There's going to come a day, my dear friend, where you'll get to see that only begotten Son of God. And you know what I have a feeling that you might do? You might do the same thing those shepherds did. Your chin might be about that far and say, oh, this is greater than I ever thought it could be. This is more wonderful than I could even imagine in my fondest dreams. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus one day, and maybe it will be soon. Exodus chapter 12, if you'll join me there. We're going to read a quick story out of Exodus chapter 12, out of the story that is probably the story most referenced than any story in all the Bible, and that was the exodus of the people of God from captivity. But I want to read a portion of what happened during that time. As you know, God had brought 9 plagues upon Pharaoh and the people there in the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh refused to let God's people go. Well, God says, I tell you what, you go back to the people and you tell them, I got one more thing we're going to do. And that's what I want to look at this morning in Exodus chapter 12. Would you stand with me as we begin to read in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 1? And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb, this is important now, your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the houses whereunto they shall eat it. Skip down to verse 12. God says, for I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will. He said, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And then one other verse down in verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. I want to draw your attention to verse number 13 and verse number 23, where the statement is made there. God says, when I see the blood. When I see the blood, he said, I will pass over you. And I want to preach to you on that phrase, when God sees the blood. When God sees the blood. Now, Father, we understand quite well this morning that without the shed blood of Christ, we are yet in our sins. We are yet, most people, most miserable because we have no redemption power to be saved without the blood of Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you provided redemption through your Son, the Lord Jesus. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved than that name, that wonderful name, that saving name of Jesus Christ. Would you bless our time together this morning? Open our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You know, most of us are not real fond of the sight of blood. The reason being is because we associate blood with hurt, right? Now, I don't like needles, but I have to go and they have to draw blood from time to time, and I've tried to talk them in to see if they can do it some other way. But I haven't found any other way that they can draw blood, and so they have to use a needle. I don't know about you, but I associate blood with pain. And for the most part, that scares a lot of us, doesn't it? You see, we're not ignorant of the importance of blood because we know that without it, a person can't live. You see, that's the reason when the Bible and the Scriptures teaches us in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse number 11, it says that the life of the flesh is in the blood. We understand that, right? You see, we've got quite a few people in our church that are in the medical field. They understand what that means. Without blood, you can't live. You see, the thing about it is, to most of us, it becomes a scary thing. And most of us, we don't like the sight of blood. May I say to you this morning, physical life cannot exist without the proper amount of blood. And when the body reaches a point that the blood level or the blood content is so low that it weakens the ability of the body to perform, that person is considered anemic. You say, how do you know that? Because my wife has reached that point a couple of times with some health issues. They're considered anemic. That just simply means lack of blood. Lack of blood. Someone that's anemic is a person that's got an issue and has a problem because they have a lack of blood. Now, anemia carries with it several things, and I'm going somewhere, so just hang on with me, all right? What it carries with it is several things, and I've experienced this with people in my family personally, so I know it's true because I got this out of the medical journal. But I've experienced this also with people. But anemia carries several things and complications with it. Number one, it carries fatigue. It carries fatigue with it. The thing about it is people that are anemic many times are very lethargic and very fatigued because of the lack of blood. May I say also that what it does, it also affects your outward appearance. You become pale. It affects you outwardly. People can tell something is not right. You're discolored because of the lack of blood. And then, according to the medical journal, it says then because of that, the fatigue, and because of the lack of blood, and because of the appearance that it requires or shows outwardly, you open yourself up for infection then. And then infection can get in and really cause a lot of problems. Those are some of the things that go along with the lack of blood. Now I want you to listen to me. May I say to you that these complications also exist in the person who knows not Christ? May I say to you this morning that the blood is the life of the flesh? And may I say to you that so is the blood of Jesus Christ, the life of the Spirit within a believer? You see, the Scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, and without shedding of blood, without shedding of blood, listen to me now, is no remission. There is no remission. You say, what does that mean, preacher? It means no blood, no life. No blood, no life. You see, where there is the lack of blood, there's problems. Now, I want you to follow me and stay with me this morning because I'm going to use that analogy here of what happens to a person that's anemic to what happens to a man that's lost without God. May I say to you that, first of all, a lost man is fatigued in spirit. They're discouraged. May I say to you that you say, where does fatigue come from? Well, from a man without Jesus Christ. Well, may I say to you that a lost man, for some reason, is always trying to do some type of works. Hey, can I tell you, there's a lot of lost people today that believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They've just never done anything about the blood of Christ. Hey, it's not that they're anti-Bible. It's not that they're anti-church. The problem is they're fatigued in their spirit because they think they've got to do something in order to be saved. They think they've got to do some special work. They've got to attend church so many times. They've got to give so much. Hey, let me say something to you. There's a lot of tired people out there. And you know what they are? They're fatigued looking for something to inherit eternal life. Remember the old rich young ruler? Remember he came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. And he listed off a few commandments. And that rich young man said, oh, I've kept all of those from my youth. He says, all right, wonderful. Sell all that you have and give to the poor. Now listen to me. You know what that rich young ruler was trying to correlate eternal life to works? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, I've kept all the commandments. I've done all of these things. You see, he was like many of us. So many people try to take works and take it out of context from Scripture and make some application to being saved. And may I say to you, people are fatigued today because they're looking to do some type of work. They're always feeling downhearted over sin because they think, oh my goodness, if I go out and I do something wrong, God's not going to keep me saved. Folks, let me tell you something. Once a person experiences that born-again experience with Jesus Christ, he's saved eternally. He's saved eternally. But people, they're so fatigued because they're constantly trying to do something to earn salvation. Do you know 2/3 of the world's religions have works attached to something as far as their teachings about what they've got to do to inherit eternal life or go to heaven? It's works attached to it. So many of them. Why? They're fatigued. Why are they tired? Because they're bypassing the blood of Christ. And when you bypass the blood and there's no blood there, fatigue sets in. Because people are trying to do this and that to go to heaven. They're always fearful of God's wrath because of disobedience. They live in fear. Let me ask you this. Does God want anybody to live in fear? No, He doesn't. He's not the author of fear. That means if God's not the author of fear, that means there can only be one other person that is. That means Satan wants to keep you gripped in fear. Folks, let me tell you something. Jesus Christ never established a church built on fear. He never established religion built on fear. He established a church and established a religion built on peace and joy and happiness and excitement. You see, fatigue sets in to a lost man because he's always trying to do something. He thinks there's some type of works attached to it. God never intended for you and I to live a fatigued life. Matter of fact, you know that spills over into a believer's life sometimes too. We think, oh, if I don't continue to do, God's not going to love me anymore. Where'd you get that from? You didn't get it from the Bible. God's going to love you regardless. Now, should we obey? Yes. Should we serve? Yes, we should. Your kids always obey you? You say, well, of course not. Well, then let me ask you, do you still love them? Of course you do. Right? Listen, because your love for them is not based on what they do for you or based on their obedience. You say, folks, listen to me now. When a person disobeys God as a child of God, they don't lose sonship, they lose fellowship. You got to understand the difference between the two. You see, I got sonship when I got birthed into the family of God. You see, as a young boy and stuff, when I got birthed into my family, that was done deal. Can't change it. But you know what? I wasn't always in fellowship with Mom and Dad either. You know how I got out of fellowship? By disobedience. So how do we know that that is a good comparison and picture, preacher? Well, go read John chapter 3. Jesus compared it Himself to the physical and the spiritual. You see, what we've got to do is help a lost person, a person that's trying to work and do things in order to inherit eternal life, and they bypass the blood of Christ. We've got to get them to see it's not of works. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. You see, so many people working. They're fatigued. They're fatigued trying to find some way to the throne of God, trying to find some way into the presence of God without the blood. May I say to you, dear folks, without the blood, He's not passing over. The destroyer will visit you. You see, when God sees the blood, He said, I will pass over you. May I say to you next that not only is the lost man fatigued in spirit, but he's pale in flesh. In other words, his countenance shows, it's written on his face. He has no joy of heart. He has no outward praise for God. He has no acknowledgement of God, no conviction of sin and wrong, no repentance. You see, it ought to concern people who wear the title and say that they've been born into the family of God, but yet they do things that they know that are contrary to Scripture and contrary to God, and they go boasting about it and say, huh, look at me, nothing's ever happened to me. Well, I wouldn't be going boasting about that. Because that's probably not a good sign. Because I promise you, that it will show in our countenance. You see, the thing about it is, when a person's anemic, you can tell. When my wife went through some physical problems, one of the ways that you could tell that anemia had set in was her countenance and her skin color changed. It was no longer fleshly color. It was a whitish color. Why? Because she'd lost blood. It reflected outwardly. You see, Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 4 says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." You see, you can tell. You can tell. You sit down and talk to somebody, and you can tell by someone's actions many times because of their countenance. You see, outwardly, you can see the signs of anemia, their fatigue, paleness of skin. And then, may I say, number 3, and if they're not careful and do something about it, then comes infection of the soul. Sin grabs the soul. You see, infection is that act by which poisonous matter produces disease. It contaminates. And may I say to you, dear friend, this morning, without the shed blood of Christ and without the washing of the blood of Christ from your sins, you are contaminated this morning. You're contaminated. Infection in the body, allowed to go untreated, can kill you. And may I say, infection of the soul, allowed to go untreated, will kill you. It will take you away from God into an eternity without God. Romans 5:12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Say, "Preacher, were you anemic one day?" Yeah. 23 years, I was anemic without the blood. But you know, when I was 23 years old, I heard the gospel one day and I thought, you know what, I got to do something about this because I feel infection coming on. I feel like, hey, and you know what, you know how you feel when infection comes on, right? You don't feel good. It takes your energy away from you. And I thought, man, I feel infected. Listen to me, when I heard the gospel, I came forth and said, "Listen, I need some help." You know what they told me? "Oh, I got all the help you need to do, that you need right here." And they opened the Bible up and showed me, you know what you need? You need about 2 pints of blood. And I put my faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And boy, I'm telling you, the infection went away. Yeah, the infection went away. Why? Hey, can I say something to you? My countenance and skin changed. My outward appearance changed. When I used to walk around, you know how we do when God, the thought of God's not in our conscience, it's not in our mind and stuff. People walk around with a scowl on their face, and you know, it's just, you can, their outward appearance, there's just nothing there. It's like the light's on, but ain't nobody home. Now, let me talk to you next about how the blood made the difference here for the people of Israel. How did it make a difference? The instruction went forth, and they were told, take a lamb, pin him up, take him on the 10th, pin him up to the 14th, and then what we're going to do is we're going to kill that lamb, we're going to take his blood, a lamb unblemished, take his blood, and we're going to put it on the side post and on the lintel of the house, and then when the destroyer passes through Egypt that night, he said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Death will not come to your house. Death will not come to your place." So how did the blood make the difference? Well, let me say a couple of things here using our story today. First of all, it had to be the blood from the right sacrifice. Okay, it couldn't be any blood. It had to be the blood from the right sacrifice. And that right sacrifice you'll find there in Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 5, where he said that it had to be a lamb without blemish. You say, "Well, that's just an animal, preacher." Wait a minute, time out now. Let's go to the New Testament in John chapter 1, verse 29. Remember a man by the name of John the Baptist? John the Baptist stood one day doing what John the Baptist did, and that was preach the gospel and get converts saved and baptized. One day he appeared, and listen, let me tell you something. Well, how did he know that was Jesus? Well, that was related for one thing. But may I say to you, number two, if you've met Jesus, you ain't going to forget it. Now, you're not going to forget it. And there he looked, and he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You see, this was this Lamb that these Israelites shed his blood that night and put on the doorpost was nothing more, dear friend. It was nothing more than a picture of the coming blood of Christ that you and I were going to have to post on our doorposts. You see, they did it, and it had to be the blood from the right sacrifice. You'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 19. It talks about there also about the Lord Jesus Christ being a lamb without blemish. It had to be the blood from the right sacrifice. You know what? I don't know this for a fact, but I wonder if there might have been in a crowd of a couple of million Israelites like that, I wonder if there might have been a couple of knuckleheads inside. You know what? I ain't doing it like that. Now, I'm not going to do it like that. It's too much work. So you know what? We're not going to slay a lamb. What we're going to do is we're going to pile a bunch of our fruit in a basket and we're going to put that outside the door. See if God will accept that. Hey, you know what? I tell you what. I don't want to really get my hands and blood on my hands. And I don't even like mutton anyway. So I'm not going to do it that way. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go out and put all of our possessions out in the front door, and so that when the destroyer passes by, he'll see you can have everything we've got, but we're not going to kill a lamb. It's too messy. It takes too much work. Too many things involved. So we're not going to do it that way. I wonder if there might have been one or two knuckleheads. Can I say to you, if there were, the destroyer came to see them that night. Because they decided, you know what? We're not going to go this way. I don't like that way. Oh, that's too violent. It's too violent to kill a poor little innocent lamb. Let me tell you something, my dear friend. You'd do whatever it took, if you had to save the life of your child, wouldn't you? Including giving your own life. So what is it? Here's a lamb that the instruction was given. Hey, it had to be the right blood from the right sacrifice, a lamb without blemish. May I say to you also, it had to be applied properly. Not only did it have to be the blood from the right sacrifice, it had to be applied properly. I wonder if there might have been some more knuckleheads that said, you know what? The doorpost, we're going to put it on the doorpost. We're going to put it on the window posts. We're going to paint the doormat with it. We're going to do everything. You know what would have happened? The destroyer would have visited them that night because God gave specific instructions of where to put it. And they put it on the doorpost, and he said, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." It had to be applied properly. Let me say something to you, dear folks. There's a lot of people in hell today that missed heaven by 18 inches. You say, 18 inches? Yeah, that's the distance between their brain and their heart. You see, there's a lot of people that know about the blood. There's a lot of people that know what they're supposed to do. They know how to apply it. They just never do. Die without Christ. You see, it had to be the blood from the right sacrifice. It had to be applied properly. And then may I say to you, number three, it had to be personal. Would you go back with me and look at Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 5? Does your King James Bible say your lamb? Come on, talk to me now. Does it say your lamb? Okay, you know what it says? You know what he's saying there? Salvation, my friend, is not hereditary. Salvation you don't get by osmosis. It's not a generational thing that comes down through your family. Listen to me, it's a personal thing. And he said, take your lamb and sacrifice. You see, this morning, if you're going to come to Christ, you're going to have to come personally. Someone can't be saved for you. Someone can't apply the blood for you. It's going to have to be a personal decision this morning. And by following God's plan of salvation, the destroyer, listen to me, has no power over your soul. No power. It's sonship. Why? because it has to be the right blood from the right sacrifice. It has to be applied properly, and then it has to be personal. It has to be your lamb. And here's the finish. So, okay, what if I come do that, preach? What are the benefits? What are the benefits of making the application of the blood of Christ to my life? Well, let me just throw out a couple here and I'll be done. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what's one of the benefits of having the blood applied to the doorpost? How about open, continual forgiveness? How about an opportunity to come boldly before the throne of grace? And there you can find grace and mercy to help in time of need. Hebrews 10 and verse number 19, you'll find there about the boldness there. And you can also find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Well, another one of the benefits of making the application of the blood is family ties. Hey, did y'all know if you're saved this morning, we all family? Y'all don't like that? Hey, we're family. And you know how we got tied together? Through the same blood that saved you, that saved me. It's the same blood that applied to my doorpost that you applied to your doorpost. And may I say to you that when God saw the blood, He's going to pass over us. You see, I have open forgiveness. I have boldness before the throne of God. I have family ties, fellowship. Now listen, some of you here today, I can tell you, some of you think, well, I don't need anybody. I really don't need any fellowship, preacher, with one another. Well, let me tell you something. In your day of darkness, in your hour of darkness, in your day of adversity, you're going to change your mind about that. David said, I looked on my right hand and looked on my left, and no man cared for my soul. You see, you're going to feel that way one day, and you know what you're going to need? You're going to need the saints of God. You're going to need the people of God to be able to come to you and nurture you and comfort you and help you. You know where you get that? You get that by applying the blood to the lintel and the doorposts. We have something in common. And then may I say one more thing. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 20. One of the benefits of the blood is I've made peace with God, and I've got the peace of God. I don't know about you, but folks, I don't want any part of any type of religion that tells me that I'll never have peace until I die. Because let me tell you something, if I can't have peace now in Jesus Christ, if I can't have peace now, then what? Most of us go out of our mind. And yet, because of the blood of Christ, I can serve God. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. I can serve Him in peace because of the peace of God that was made through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, the word came to Israel. God's got one more plague. If we're going to be saved from this last plague, here's what we've got to do. We've got to take your lamb, and you've got to sacrifice your lamb. And you're going to have to take it on the 10th day, hold it to the 14th day. We're going to slay the lamb. You're going to take the blood of that lamb. You're going to apply it to the doorpost and the lintel of the house. And then you go in, and listen, we didn't have time to read it all, but God says, now when you shut the door, don't come out. You do not go out that entry until the morning. I wonder how many Israelites sat in their home that night and heard the screams and heard the wailing and weeping and gnashing of teeth of those who the destroyer visited. You see, my dear friend, don't wait till it's too late. See, people get real concerned when it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Come this morning, and may I say to you, that same blood is available for you to apply to the doorpost of your life. But it has to be the right blood. It has to be done, not only just the right blood, it has to be done the right way, but it's going to have to be personal. You're going to have to come this morning. You're going to have to trust Christ this morning. Nobody can trust Him for you. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one moving around. This is such an important time in our invitation time. How many this morning can say, preacher, I know beyond